Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to examine what John taught about testing the spirits. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, again together. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, we are discussing what the Apostle John meant when he told us to test the spirits or to try the spirits. And on the last broadcast, we were looking at just what John meant when he wrote in verse 3, "This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world." Now, as we saw last time, it is common today for people to think that there is only one Antichrist, and that he is that quote-unquote man of sin that the Apostle Paul talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that is going to supposedly sit down in the Jewish temple after it is rebuilt in Jerusalem at some point in the future. But as we saw last time, John taught that there are actually many antichrists, and that those many antichrists were alive and doing their evil work 1900 years ago when John wrote this epistle. To clarify this, let's read again 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. "Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that antichrist is coming, even now many antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us." Now, we must remember, beloved, that any time a biblical writer is talking about that period of time called the last time or the last days, he is referring to that time frame between the resurrection or the ascension of Jesus Christ and his second coming. And it's also called the church age. And so we are now entering the third millennia of the last days. So John is saying here in verse 18 that at the time that he wrote this epistle, which was supposedly around AD 96 to 98, that there were at that time many antichrists, not one or two, but many antichrists, already on the earth, actively engaged in trying to deceive the people of God and to teach false doctrine in order to tear up the church. Now again, an antichrist is not somebody who just simply didn't like John or someone with whom John didn't care anything about. So this was not a name-calling contest here. Now John was accurately labeling those people who had crept into the church to deceive the simple-minded and to bring in false doctrine. And John says here that there were many of them during his day. Notice what he says again in verse 19. "They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us." Now, again, we need to know that this was not a squabble over personalities or personal preferences. The antichrists are unsaved people. They have never been saved, and they never will be saved. who infiltrated the church for the express purpose of trying to destroy it through the insertion of bad, wrong, and evil doctrine. In his epistle, Jude says that these ungodly men crept into the church to bring in damnable heresy concerning three areas of Christian belief. Number one, the grace of God. Number two, the character and nature of God the Father. And number three, the person and work of Jesus Christ. Notice that John says in verse 19 of 1 John chapter 2 that these antichrists went out from us. Now, as you study church history, you will learn that the reason that these evil people went out from the church is because the leaders of the church exposed them, and they held what they taught accountable to Scripture. They tested the spirits of these men, found them to be not of God, and they exposed the falsehood of their teachings, and when these heretics refused at least two separate times to repent, they were excommunicated from the Christian church. Now, I fully realize that that sounds very harsh and unloving to many people today, but it really isn't. It is being faithful to Jesus, and it is a demonstration of godly love by the leaders of the church toward those people who don't want to be deceived. In fact, it is only in our day when this action has become rare. All throughout the 2,000-year history of the Christian church, the action of excommunicating unrepentant people had to be taken periodically due to the stark reality that there were many false prophets and antichrists alive and well, and were very seriously trying to destroy the Christian faith. And this action of exposing and excommunicating heretics and apostates and false teachers is perfectly in accord with what the apostles taught and practiced. For example, let's read Titus chapter 3, verse 10. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning. Not only that, but the apostle Paul thought it wise to name the names of some of these antichrists in order to let other churches know exactly who fit this bill, so that these heretics came to their church, they wouldn't be able to enter in and destroy it. I want you to read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. Now, when Paul says here that he handed these two men over to Satan, Paul was talking about them being excommunicated from the church. And of course, the prayer is that when this happens, God will use this action to bring these men to repentance. The point here is that even though many of us today look at this action by Paul as being barbaric and cruel and completely unchristian, the men whom God used to establish Christianity clearly taught that this action was not only allowed, but that it was mandatory and commanded when heretics or antichrists were involved. Listen, if biblical truth matters at all, then any attack against it in any way, by anyone, is a very, very serious thing, especially if we are dealing with an area of truth that is essential for salvation, like the person and work of Jesus Christ. So it is not about personal preferences or things that don't matter. No one should go through this action over things like that. We are to love one another and be merciful and long-suffering about all issues of personal preference. But when we're dealing with serious issues of eternal consequences, we not only have the right, but we have the duty and the obligation to hold what other people believe and what they teach and what they confess accountable to the authority of Scripture, not only for their sakes, but for the sake of the church as well. So part of what John was talking about here in chapter 4, when he said that the people had already been warned about the fact that antichrists were coming, and was fulfilled here in chapter 2, but John was not alone in faithfully warning the church to be on guard against the Antichrist. I want you to read with me 2 Peter chapter 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. Daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties, whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way. They have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he received a rebuke for his own transgression, for a mute donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water, and mists driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. Now, Peter wrote this epistle around AD 68, some 30 years before John wrote his epistle, and just a few years before Jude wrote his epistle. So the Christians of the first century had been taught for over 30 years by Peter's epistle that these antichrists and false prophets were coming at some future date. Peter's use of the future tense in his writing shows us that these evil men had not yet been manifested during his day, but that they were sure to come. John and Jude tell us very clearly in their writings, these people are here. Well, I'm going to have to stop right now, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.